This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Whatever I just did was sinful. It's wonderful.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
The Browns are trading for Tyrod Taylor. That just happened just now. TV across from me. Huh. Well, Grant tweeted earlier that he was prepared to talk about anything. Said he'd been preparing for any and all things because maybe I wasn't going to talk about K-State basketball. Well, here's your curveball, Grant Nicholson, on Twitter at GNicholsonKSU. He's the sports director at K-State's KSDB 91.9 FM. All right, Grant, give me 30 seconds on the Browns trading for Tyrod Taylor. Let's go. See if you're a professional or not.
So are they out of the Kirk Cousins suitcase? Is that what that means?
I just realized that I can't hear you even a tiny bit. Let's try that again.
Josh, can you hear me?
Oh, it's not your. You're definitely on air. I'm just realizing.
Oh.
No, you're good. This is me now turning dials at no other pub at the Power and Light District. Hit me with that one more time, Grant. I'm ready.
Oh, how about this? Oh, they're out of the Kirk Cousins suitcase now, if you can hear me.
Ooh, I can hear you now. No one is ever out of the Kirk Cousins sweepstakes. Those go on for eternity until he signs an eventual 3-year, $95 million deal with the Jets, because that's how this ends.
Which is absolutely insane. And I got to be honest, Josh, this was the one eventuality. Tyrod Taylor was the one guy I wasn't ready to talk about.
I know.
I was
seriously thinking during the commercial break, what's the first thing that I could ask Grant about that he wouldn't be prepared for? And then Adam Schefter across from me on the television, he's not actually here, he's on the television. Adam Schefter then gifted me with this, that the Browns are just like burning it down today. So that breaking news notwithstanding, Grant, this would have been a more interesting conversation if Dean Wade was going to be playing tonight. But he is out, and the Sunflower Showdown Part 3 is probably now without two of the three most important players in that matchup, because Udoka Azubuike is obviously out for Kansas, and Dean Wade is for K-State.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly lost a little bit of its luster, hasn't it? Certainly frustrating from a K-State standpoint when you lose what I think is probably your best player. You can make arguments for Barry Brown, but with Dean Wade going down, that really hurts your chances to even be, I think, maybe even competitive in the ball game, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I look at both of these teams losing those guys. I would much rather take the side of Kansas still, even as important as Udoka Azubuike is. Losing him is not quite as catastrophic as losing Dean Wade is. Now, I'm keeping up with all of this mostly through an occasional tweet and then hopefully a conversation with someone who knows what they're talking about, Grant. But what is the timetable right now for Dean Wade's return?
So it sounds like this has been something that's bothered him a little bit. I don't want to speculate for too long, but maybe a week, week and a half, 2 weeks, right towards the end of Big 12 conference play. Maybe it's been bugging him a little bit. You could tell in the TCU game yesterday, especially down the stretch, he wasn't really himself, wasn't holding the offense, shied away from some offensive sets that he normally would take control of. But they're talking like they'll reevaluate him tomorrow. If the Cats were to win tonight for the Big 12 championship tomorrow, they would reevaluate him. Maybe he goes tomorrow. I know his dad said earlier today that he'd be a game time decision. So obviously, they don't think it's too serious. And they certainly think that he will be available in the NCAA tournament, assuming the Cats make it. I think they're pretty confident in that eventuality right now. But I think it's a pretty minor thing, just from the reports that we've seen. But not going to play today.
Hitting me with the fill in the blank here. If K-State is a winner tonight against Kansas without Udoka Azubuike, what will the explanation for that be?
Barry Brown just went absolutely crazy. It was the three-headed monster coming into the year. It's supposed to be Cam, Barry, and then Dean Wade. Cam goes down with an injury about midway through conference play. Hasn't really come back. I don't think he's 100%. Doesn't have quite the same explosives and the same sort of confidence that we saw at the beginning of the year. And now Dean Wade's down. So, I mean, I think there's going to be another chance for Barry Brown to say, you know, there's a chance I'm the best player on this team and just absolutely take over, because that's the only way that I see K-State really come out of this. That or McColl may win, just play the game of his life.
What are the chances that Barry Brown does just take over? And what does a Barry Brown takeover look like?
The Barry Brown takeover looks like driving to the hoop a lot. When K-State's offense is playing really well, he is aggressive going to the rim. And we'll see. Hopefully the Wildcats don't get in some early foul trouble, because that would really, really get them in trouble. We've seen that happen a couple of times. But when the offense is clicking, especially during that three-point win streak that the Wildcats had right towards the beginning of Big 12 play, is when Barry Brown's attacking the rim. And I think he's going to have a lot of opportunity to do that, just because the Wildcats are going to trot out three primary ball handlers to start the basketball game. I think you're going to see Cam and Cartier sort of sit outside the three-point arc and get ready for some Barry Brown drives and kicks, really.
And that's something that does have, like, a chance to work against Kansas. If there's an exploitable part of this team, a guy being able to take it from the top and then try to penetrate that defense without Udoka Azubuki, that gets a little bit more likely. And it makes a little bit more sense. Let's look beyond this game here for a minute, just because I'm curious of the perception from people who are around K-State all the time. What are the expectations for this team, not in this tournament, but in the actual one?
I think the bar, you got to be, because they're going to be anywhere between a 7 to a 10 line, is my guess. I think that they're pretty firmly in one of those. They're not going to be in a playing game. My assumption is based on how they've played or how they've looked, some of the projections I've seen. But I think you got to win that first matchup. You're going to be playing up against a team similar skill level to you. Anywhere but, you know, a 7, 10, 8, 9 matchups so many times are coin flips. I think especially if Dean Wade comes back healthy, you got to win a tournament game. The only tournament game that, or NCAA tournament game, I should say, that Bruce Weber's won here at K-State, won last year in the play-in game. And does that really count? I don't even know. So it'd be great to see Bruce Weber pick up a real-life tournament win in NCAA.
And what's the perception about Bruce Weber right now? We've talked about this a bunch. I've talked about Bruce Weber a bunch. Winning the play-in game last year was, I mean, obviously better than not winning it. But it basically just counts as a tournament appearance at that point, in my mind. I feel like this has been a relatively nice season for K-State, all things considered, and with the potential of Bruce Weber having kind of a weak season here would have been the end of the Bruce Weber era in Manhattan. What are you getting now whenever it comes to the public perception of Bruce Weber as the head coach of this team, the job that he's done this year, and then also his long-term viability?
I think before the season, you probably would have said you just want to see some progress out of this team. For a couple of years, especially when they had those down years, it just never seemed to be any progress. They had these three guys coming as a freshman, the Dean Wade recruiting class, and talking about that 300 third. And then you saw a little bit of improvement from freshman to sophomore year, but not really enough to turn all but whet your appetite. There wasn't much substance there. This season, I think you've seen the substance. I mean, I think Dean Wade, he's all Big 12 first team, or the second team at least. He's right up there in that conversation. Barry Brown, all Big 12 second team consensus pretty much across the board. You've seen the progression. You see these guys step up into the role. You've seen the role players show up. Xavier Sneed giving you good minutes from a starting position as just a sophomore. And then you've seen the new guys inside in the front court get better as the season's gone along. I thought you'd want to see progression as the year went on, and I think you did. And so I think that really wraps it up. I think Bruce is going to be back next year, no problem. And I think you give him another go at the thing. Next year will be good because you'll have those senior guys, assuming none of them go to the draft. It'll be Dean, Barry, and Cam right back. And you'll have a shot, I think, in my opinion, to win the Big 12 next year. And I think the long-term prognosis for Bruce Weber is really good. He rode the storm out, and he did a pretty good job. I mean, he's not going to be without his detractors. I don't think he's ever going to be able to escape those. And there's a subset of K-State fans that are always going to want more. But it's really going to be tough to unseat him. I think he's done a really good job this year.
That's interesting for next year. I mean, it does make sense for this team to really be a contender with all those guys going into their senior year. You don't expect any of them to go pro, right?
That would be my assumption. You know, Cam went out and he put his name into the NBA draft last year just to get his evaluation. I think we'll see almost all three of those guys do it, Cam, Bill, and Dean. But there's no way. Dean's already said he's coming back for the senior year. I don't think Cam or Barry really has the skill to go.
Yeah. Well, again, say with that being the assumption, I mean, this is an absolutely dangerous, like, title-contending team for next year. And for all of the things that make me roll my eyes at Bruce Weber, this is a legitimate title contender next year. That's just going to be very interesting. So that's a good point. I hadn't thought of it that way. We're talking to Grant Nicholson. He's a sports director at K-State's KSDB 91.9 FM in Manhattan. You can follow him on Twitter at GNicholsonKSU. What's the fan? I keep using the word perception. I want to use perception. What's the fan excitement level for the game today? I imagine that there's kind of a weird flavor thrown in with no Dean Wade. There is for Kansas fans around here, but I'm also looking around no other pub out here at Power and Light, and I see a lot of purple that people are still showing out, even though the actual game tonight might be a little bit less interesting. Is there any dampening?
I think there's a pretty good dampening from guys that watch a lot of the basketball. I think it's a bummer just because you saw you had a chance. KU's shorthanded. You saw you have the upper hand. You got your best player. Dean Wade always has good games against KU. You saw if he pulled off another one of those, the Wildcats would have a shot and then go to the Big 12 championship tomorrow. But there is a little bit of a sour taste left in your mouth because you're like, well, sort of what could have been a sort of opportunity here. Obviously, the Big 12 championship, while fun, I'm not sure how much substance there really is to this postseason first little tournament thing. And so it is a little bit of a bummer. I'm going to go watch it with some friends. I'm sure we'll have a good time. I'm sure we'll cheer the whole time. But it is a little bit, you know, not as much fun without Dean there.
What is your what's your go-to bar food? Or game food?
Bar food?
Go-to game food. You're watching Ooh. KU and K-State. You're out with some friends. What is the ideal order?
Dude, I'm a sucker for some buffalo wings. I really am. I mean, I feel like that's pretty easy. It's basic, right? Yeah, that's my bad. I'm just a sucker for them. They're good. A lot of the boys down here got pretty good wings. I mean, they're not world class, but I can't complain.
Man, with
is
the
basic
crowd
for
noise,
your show?
The crowd noise here and you being on the phone, and Beards, you might have to let me know how this sounded in the studio. Every time you said the word sucker, I got really nervous. It was not coming through as clear as the word sucker needs to come through.
It was fine.
Okay, that's good. For me, it wasn't. For me, it absolutely was not. For me, I thought I knew where you were going, but it was terrifying. I had a moment of my heart skipping a beat. That's fantastic. Another thing that you may or may not be prepared for, can you describe fake Patty's Day to people that don't know what it is?
Everywhere for like a 3-square-mile radius is basically just in party mode right around Abbeville. I mean, you're going to see people walking around. I know friends that are getting up at 6 a.m. to start drinking tomorrow.
Wow!
There's green beer. It's green as far as the eye can see. It's just basically a party for like 24 straight hours.
I have some logistical questions. I don't know if you can answer this. I don't know if you can answer this or not. You might have to do it as a third party, and maybe you can do some reporting back for me during the actual event. By the way, when is it this year? Isn't it usually on weekends?
It's tomorrow. Yeah, it's on Saturday.
Oh, it's tomorrow. Oh, that makes sense. Because isn't actual St. Patrick's Day on a weekend this year?
I'm not sure, but Friday is always the weekend right before spring break.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, that makes more sense. Okay. So logistical questions here that I need some help. And again, you may have to report back. But what goes into waking up at 6 a.m. to start drinking? Does that not sort of defeat the purpose?
I think the purpose is just to drink like as much as you can on St. Patty's Day. I think that's what they're going for. It's not about quality or enjoyment. It's certainly just about quantity.
Just
for
volume,
people.
Okay? I also feel like if you start drinking at 6 a.m., you're not going to make it to sundown. But I'm not a professional. I went to a Nazarene college, so I understand that I'm very much coming into this from an outsider's perspective. I will not challenge the experts, but...
Now, what I'm really worried about, Josh, is if they make the Big 12 championship game tomorrow... What is that party going to be like in Aggieville?
Oh, my.
Big Patch Day in the Big 12 Championship? I'm worried, Josh. I'm a little worried.
Yeah, no, I'm worried for you. Oh, I hope that happens. I've picked half of the people listening now and told them that I'm now rooting for K-State to beat Kansas, and I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to say that verbatim, but I'll say that if K-State wins, I will be absolutely glued to Twitter tomorrow looking for your reporting on the chaos that is happening in Aggieville, because that seems like an absolute, that seems like a feature story. I have a question that I know the answer to, but I'd like for you to explain. I'd like for you to go ahead and explain this to people who don't know the answer to it, and then maybe this can help direct people to your Twitter. Again, go follow Grant on Twitter. He's at GeneNicholsonKSU. I need you to describe your avatar to people who do not currently follow you on Twitter.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so
this is the best advertising I've ever done for anyone's Twitter account, by the way. This is easy.
Hey, appreciate it. So this is going to be a little convoluted, but it is Michael Cera. As if he's on the cover of Kendrick Lamar's Good Kid, Mad City album.
It just, every single time I see it, it makes me so happy. My other concern, though, is eventually we will actually, like, meet in person, and you won't be Michael Cera with a blacked-out bar over your eyes, and I will not recognize you. I will not know who I'm talking to. I will not know where you're coming from. I just will not. I will have no point of reference.
Well, I think that's part of the allure, right? On Twitter, you can be somewhat anonymous. I'm not sure if it's really working in my favor or not, but
I think it is. Every time I see it, it makes me happy, and I feel like I have absolutely given people an unbelievably good reason to go follow you on Twitter. So. Go do that, Grant. Thank you for making the time. Even though I heard every fourth word you said, I'm just sure that you are providing the most quality content ever.
All right, thanks, man. No worries. Tell Scott I said what's up, man.
Okay, I'll tell Scott that you told him to bleep off. I'll tell
Sounds
him that.
Right.
And you...
Sounds about far for the course.
I'm gonna try to get you guys to fight. I don't know over what yet. But... It's Grant Nicholson, sports director, K-State's KSDB, 91.9 FM, at Gene Nicholson, KSU. He's not actually Michael Cera on the cover of Kendrick Lamar's Good Kid, Mad City, but he is on the internet, and that's what matters the most. Beards, we have like a minute here before we have to switch lanes and talk to Scott, but I want to produce it on air just a little bit. Could you hear what Grant was saying?
For the most part.
Okay.
It started out really quiet there, and I literally had him cranked all the way to the top.
Okay.
But it evened out. It evened out.
It seemed like the volume and everything was okay, but there's a balance here, and we're going to have to work with this again with Scott. I don't know how this is going to go, but we're going to soldier on. That was the first time that we've talked to anybody on the phone from down here, right? No, we talked to Seth. Seth was quiet. Seth was on Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday was much easier than the last 2 days have been.
For some reason, I thought that today was going to be a good time to have two phone guests leading up to KU K-State tip-off, and I didn't consider the fact that it was going to be harder to hear the voices from a cell phone than it would be to hear from people in person. And, you know, Pobity is nerfic.
Nope.
But I feel like we made it a decent amount. Also, somebody walked by and gave me a high five. He said something to me. I couldn't hear him, but he pointed at me and said something, so I gave him a high five and then pointed at him back. And also... the free stuff that gets handed out here is really great. I wish I was in a commercial whenever the Bud Light people walked by, because they just had like hats and stuff.
Oh, nice.
And the Dilly Dilly thing has gone too far. No question.
Of course it has.
But if someone gave me a Dilly Dilly hat, I would wear it 100%.
Free.
I'll take any free hat, man. I'd love hats. I would have absolutely taken a Bud Light hat and worn it twice. But somebody came by and threw me a Phillips 66 koozie, which I have now put my free Sunkist in.
Like, sweet.
That's the environment here. I got a Sunkist whenever I walked in.
Sunkist is the best.
Before the show, I drank my free Red Bull, and now I'm drinking my free Sunkist out of a free Phillips 66 koozie. And also, today, remind me to talk about this after we talk to Scott Beards. Today, we were throwing shirts off of the stage down here at the KC Live block, and I started cannoning them into the balcony.
Oh, yeah?
Raving, and I was freaking getting it there. It was my proudest athletic achievement.
Man, I'll tell you what. When I was at the Thunder game,
yeah,
they had I don't know if they were any different than the T-shirt cannons that everybody else has.
Yeah.
But theirs were powerful.
Yes.
And they were loud. And, oh, boy, they were launching them to, like, the very back row.
Oh, that sounds so good.
And I'm sure that, you know, if they would have pointed those into the first row, somebody would have been decapitated.
Right. I was going to say that I want that job, and I don't. I do not want to be a T-shirt cannon firer. I want to do that once.
Yes. Or, like, use the chain gun one. The giant cannon that has, like, 30.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had two of those.
I want to go out to some event. Like, yeah, ESPN Kansas City night at the Oklahoma City Thunder. That makes sense. I want to go do that, and I want to be given a T-shirt cannon. I was going to say, I'm also going to assume that you have a T-shirt cannon, and instead of shooting them into the stands, I'm just going to try to shoot you with a T-shirt cannon.
That would hurt. Also, I have a better idea. Why don't we take one of the giant ones to, like, a restaurant?
Hey, welcome. Next, we're here at no other
problem. Oh, no. Menards. There we go.
Oh, Menards we could do it in.
Yeah.
Menards wouldn't be a problem. I thought the comedy there was being in like tight quarters and then just getting a table and just shooting T-shirts into a crowd.
See, what my idea for Menards is we're... So I'm assuming that your table is, like, at the front of the
store?
No,
it's the back.
Oh, really?
It's the back.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, then that just blows my plane out of the water. But we'd sit up in the front, and just whenever somebody would walk in, boom, catch.
No, that's really good. I like that.
Keep them on their toes.
Yeah, no, that's good. Welcome to Menards. You got to say it differently. You can't sing the jingle or anything. You have to just scream at them every time, everything.
Save big money!
Save big money now. Save big money wherever you have health insurance, because you're going to need it, because we broke your clavicle by hitting you with a T-shirt out of a cannon.
It's not our problem. They have Butterfingers.
All right, we got to take a break. Whenever we come back, we'll talk to Scott Chase and Lawrence Journal World. We talk to him a lot because he's good to talk to. And I pray to God I'll be able to hear what he's actually saying. And if not, maybe you will. That's next.
Keep up with the show on Twitter.
I will never tweet about rumblings. Don't tweet about rumblings.
At JB Briscoe. This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Also, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis being nicknamed the law firm is one of my favorite nicknames of all time.
You know what Derek Blaylock's nickname was?
No.
He didn't have one.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
Welcome back to the high decibel, Almost Entirely Sports. Why is it so high decibel? Because we're at no other pub at the Power and Light District, and there are people around. Usually, we do this from a nearly soundproof studio. I am disheveled. I am on my heels. It actually was okay. The first hour flew by, just talking to myself, and then now we learn that the magic of phones, you know, does have its limitations. So thanks again to Grant Nicholson for coming on. And Scott Chasen now slides right into our DMs. He writes about sports for the at LJ World, according to his Twitter bio. Am I pronouncing that correctly, Scott? Chasen?
Chasen, actually. I just think it's crazy that you got Michael Sarah to come on and he dropped an F-bomb. That was insane.
Yeah, it was a big get for us. It really was. It was really amazing. I don't think he knew we weren't on satellite radio. I hope he never changes his avatar.
How could he know you guys were on satellite radio? He's got that black box over his eyes. It's too hard to tell what's going on for him.
Yeah, it makes all the sense in the world. First question, obviously, out of the gate, because the third installment of the Sunflower Showdown is tonight. So obvious first question, where are you going on vacation?
I'm going to Los Angeles. Thank you for asking. How are you doing?
Have you been... No, Scott! Have you been traded to the Rams?
Yes, I'm actually on the same flight as whoever just got traded out there that I've already forgotten. Oh, Akeem Tlaib. How could I forget?
Oh, my heart. I can't... All of my favorites are getting traded to Los Angeles. Oh, this hurts.
You want to feel even worse?
Yes.
Okay. Michael Crabtree, not him, but his train also just got traded to the LA Rams.
No! I mean, eventually we're going to. Scott, tell me something I need to know about the game tonight, please.
I don't know. It doesn't mean anything.
Sorry, hold on. Sorry, Scott. a guy who had to be at least relatively drunk just came to me, clearly talking to a microphone, and asked me if I knew where the bathrooms were, as if I am just like, as if I am swabbing the poop deck at some, on a pirate ship. That was the, I asked you to say just a thing so I could turn off my microphone and hear his question, because I had already given him the finger, not that one, a finger as in please hold, my one index finger pointed in his direction. And he took off, and then I pointed him in the direction that I believe the restrooms are, and I have no idea what you said after you didn't answer my question.
I said the game doesn't matter. That was my tidbit. But I actually, that guy's kind of brilliant. I mean, who better to know where the bathroom is than someone who probably has to locate it when he goes into a, you know, you probably have to figure it out. So you can tell between segments, you know, if you got to go. So kind of brilliant on his part. I'm going to start doing that. I might ask, like, Clark Kellogg or something at the NCAA tournament if he knows where, like, churros are or something. Like,
yes.
Where can I get a good stuffed pretzel, Clark? What's up, man?
Hey, Clark, currently on the television. Where are you getting? Have you ever been to an arena that has churros?
Yeah, dude. Churros are like underrated. First of all, Sam's
sure,
Club is
no,
not
no.
an arena, but that's the best churros in the world right there.
Where are the churros?
Sam's Club. It's not an arena, but it may as well be.
Okay. Fantastic. No, that's not the answer I was looking for. But also, they have churros at Sam's?
Yeah, you've never been there and gotten, and they're like 99 cents, and they're the size of Vermont, dude. They're the size of, not the state Vermont, the country in Europe. I know it doesn't exist, but I wanted to make it sound
wow.
even bigger.
I mean, there are definitely states that are also countries, like perhaps Georgia, that would have worked.
Yeah, I realized that one as I said it. I was like, how
yes.
can I make Vermont even bigger? And I was like, is it a mountain Vermont? And I was like, probably, but I'm not a mountain guy, you know. I'm more of a hills guy. But, I couldn't think of it. So, I threw out the country Vermont. But who knows? This is Trump's America, so maybe.
The size of Vermont. Not the state, but the planet. You know the planet Vermont? It's like the 15th one away from the sun. It's huge. And they called it Vermont for some reason.
Well, today's actually a big day for alternative facts. I don't know if you've been paying attention to the Seahawks Twitter.
No, what's on the Seahawks Twitter?
Well, they tweeted a thank you for Richard Sherman, and it took them about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 words to go into alternative facts. They said, thank you for helping us win championships. So glad that Russell Wilson handed the ball off to Marshawn Lynch and got 1-2 wins.
Oh, man, that's...
To Russell, or to Richard Sherman for that.
Yeah, that's really bad.
And if you can imagine, the replies were all very friendly, and they were like, hey, guys, just letting you know, you did only actually win one, just very politely, like, I don't want to bother you, like a very friendly reply. Definitely no one yelling at them.
So this is ridiculous. The Browns just traded for Packers cornerback Demaryius Randall? Like, that's their third trade of the last, like, 2 hours.
Well, and did you hear that allegedly they're trying to move up to take Olivier Gordon?
I don't even know who that is.
That's if you change, like, three of the letters in Olive Garden, but I don't know who half these people are, so I just kind of
nice.
Make up names from that.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I know, right?
Fantastic. Also,
Italian.
The Browns trading up for anything would be really hard because they have the first pick and the fourth pick.
So, maybe they could go all Sonny Weems and trade like 3 first-round picks, or Sonny whatever the GM was in draft day, and trade 3 first-round picks and get like another first-round pick, and then trade that pick back for 6 picks and a punt returner, and that's how the draft usually works, right? I've only seen the movie.
Did you saw the movie Draft Day?
Oh, it's so bad, Josh. It's so bad.
Okay, I haven't seen it, and I feel like what I've heard most of the time is people saying, you know what? It wasn't terrible. But don't they like, don't, doesn't, oh man, who's the lead in that?
Kevin Costner.
Kevin Costner. Doesn't Kevin Costner just trade like their whole draft for Arian Foster, who ended up retiring like 2 years later?
So basically what ends up happening is he trades 3 first round picks to move up 5 spots to take the guy he was going to take anyway, then says, oh, I'll fix this. I'll trade 3 second round picks to move up to get a running back that would have fallen to the second round,
and then somehow convinces the guy who he traded all his picks to give him all of the picks back and another player for a worse pick to take the quarterback he would have originally taken.
Do you know if Sean Collins has seen this movie?
Sean hates it, I think, like me. I'm guessing we're on the same page.
I just was wondering if that is a Scene Setter podcast. I would happily come watch that for the first time, as you guys are forced to watch it for a second, and then do a podcast immediately following.
This, you know, is something... we should do a Scene Setter about sports. I'd be totally on board. We actually did a Scene Setter today. It'll be up Monday about game night, and we got into a debate about like who would beat who at like life and Monopoly. So Sean and I are pretty much up for anything.
What did you use? What's the one you just did?
The movie Game Night. It's got
Oh, yeah.
It's always that Moby dude, you know?
Yeah, sure. Can I get a preview on your episode? Can I get a preview on your review?
Yeah. We basically spent about 30 minutes, not an exaggeration, insulting the country of France, which is a country, not a state. Because Sean made it his MVP because he was really mad that I guessed his MVP last time. And you will have to listen to the podcast to figure out why.
That's amazing. Wow. I love that. Stupendous. What was the last movie that you did that he was so mad about your MVP, or you calling the MVP? Was it Annihilation?
Oh, Annihilation. Yeah, I was joking. I was like, I should have taken the bear for my MVP, and he just looked over. And, you know, like, I left.
I haven't seen it yet. Be careful. Please be careful. I haven't seen Annihilation yet.
I will. But when I left my home today, you know, I have a few dogs at my house. Like, one of them looked up at me with the saddest face. And he was in, like, a little kennel-type playpen deal. We don't have kennels, but more of, like, a play area that is gated off so he can't destroy the house. He just looked at me so sad and so, like, innocent, and how could you do this to me? And when I said the bear, that's how Sean looked at me.
It was like you had kicked your Sean. That's no good. Also, Grant has fired back. He says he can't believe that you would come at him on my show. That's a low blow. Do you have any fighting you'd like to do in return? Do you throw any counterpunches?
Well, I heard he told me to bleep off. I heard
yes,
that
he did.
Clearly.
He did. Yes.
Well, as clearly as you could hear anything on that last segment. I would like to tell Grant in the most polite way possible that he is a really wonderful guy. And if he would like to prove that, I'm pretty sure I owe him, like, barbecue. So, good guy.
Oh, wow, okay. That's exciting.
Yeah, I know, right?
I had another. I was gonna say. Whenever you mentioned that you guys are doing a podcast on game night, it reminded me how excited I am to get my movie pass because I know for a fact that no one without a pass for free movies, no one without that pass is seeing the movie Game Night.
Whoa, that movie made $40 million, you haters. Jason Bateman, Rachel McAdams, the guy from Breaking Bad, who I can't remember his name, Jesse Plemons. That's a good cast.
Was it any sort of good?
Oh, yeah, it's pretty good. I think we both gave it, like, pretty average ratings. It was funny. It was just, like, totally... Matt Galloway, who... Have you had him on the show, or you were going to?
No. He keeps turning me down. He keeps rejecting my advances.
Well, he likes every movie ever, famously, and we always make fun of him for it.
Okay.
And we walked out of that movie, we saw it together, and he goes, I feel like there were a couple plot holes in that movie. And I was like, no bleep, Matt. No bleep.
So very quickly, it got an 82 on Rotten Tomatoes with an average of 6.7 out of 10.
It has an 82 on Rotten Tomatoes?
Based on 168 reviews.
Stunning. That is stunning.
Don't be misled. That just means 82% of people liked it. 6.7 is the average rating. That's what I gave it, a 6.5.
I need to Google this and make sure that Beard is looking at the right thing.
I'm 100% positive on this one.
Wow.
Wow, it just did,
look
it
at
did
Beard
not,
showing you up.
It did not.
Beard's
well, it's fun. It was showing me up. I don't care. It sounds Rotten Tomatoes redid their logo on their website. That's kind of fun.
Oh, it's horrible. It's so
and 84%
bad.
Of the audience liked it.
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
please,
Scott. Are idiots.
That's true. It's filibuster about KU and K-State for 30 seconds.
30 seconds about KU and K-State. I think really funny that Udoka Azubuki would guard Dean Wade and probably, you know, not vice versa, but that's the matchup everyone would want to see, and they're both out. So that took away, like, 99% of the interest in this game, and I'm sure for the committee, too.
awesome. Fantastic timing. That was exactly enough time for me to turn off my microphone and tell this nice lady that I don't have any koozies, but there are some downstairs.
Oh, do you have any beanies? They were handing out beanies yesterday. Could you grab me one?
Really? Seriously? Who?
The Big 12 was, but Matt Galloway grabbed one, and I was like, where are they? He's like, back there, and they were all out. So,
were they Big 12 beanies? Or were they 8-10 beanies?
No. They were Big 12 beanies, but if you see one, I don't care if someone's wearing it, steal one for me.
Fantastic. I look forward to that very much. Have you seen the trailer for the Hurricane Heist? That is fantastic, the Fast and Furious, but with a hurricane.
Oh, my God. They're making another one of those?
No, it's called the Hurricane Heist, and it looks like the Fast and the Furious, but it's in a hurricane.
Is it starring Vin Diesel and Paul Walker?
I don't think Paul Walker's in it. I can't remember. I think did he retire from acting? I think that was it. Sorry to be the one to break the news.
That's really tough. That's devastating, actually.
Yeah, well, whenever you find out the truth, you're gonna have a really bad time. I don't recognize anybody in the cast.
That's always good. They say the best movies have no famous actors, but really big budgets. That usually is a sign of a great movie.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to go really well. It has the 29%.
It means everyone wanted to sign on for it so badly that they were like,
yes.
Ugh, we got to go with all these no-names just because, I couldn't even think of famous actors to sell this. So, like, George Clooney, if we pick him, then, Mel Gibson's going to be mad. I seriously could not think of any other actors.
This feels like a Mark Wahlberg movie.
Yeah, ooh. You're right. No, it does. This feels like a Mark Wahlberg movie as much as Game Night feels like Kevin Hart is in there somewhere.
Oh, he is. He makes a huge cameo. You never see it.
Is he? Wait, hold on. Scott, I need you to shoot straight with me for 2 seconds. Is Kevin Hart in that movie?
Obviously not. Come on, man.
Okay. No, don't say obviously not. I don't know the cast. And I couldn't hear you when you were saying the cast. He just very much seemed like that is a Kevin Hart movie. And I think it still is a Kevin Hart movie. Whenever we talk about the great movies in Kevin Hart's career, we will talk about Game Night, even though he wasn't actually in it. Because it's like a spiritual successor to every other Kevin Hart movie.
I have this conspiracy. Can I run it by you on air? I mean, it's just
between
you and me.
Please.
Okay.
Yeah, no one knows. No one's listening.
I don't think Kevin Hart has ever been funny in anything, and I think his whole career is a myth. Like, I don't think he's a real person.
Yeah, okay, well, I was going to take it in an Illuminati direction where just, like, some unbelievably rich person was like, hey, I bet this other unbelievably rich person that I can make Kevin Hart famous. So they've just sort of, like, propped him up until the zeitgeist considered him funny. That's my...
Yeah, well, they put him with The Rock.
Yeah.
And no one watched that movie, right? I mean, clearly. Well, Intelligence or something?
Punch Fist with Kevin Hart and The Rock. I believe it was called Punch Fist.
Okay,
I think it was
so you got
Central Intelligence.
Too? Central Intelligence is one. I think they're both in it. But either way, like, you get these movies. No one ever in their right mind is going to watch them. But then everyone's kind of like, yeah, it looks a little funny. Yeah, Kevin Hart, he's pretty funny. And then, yeah, all of a sudden, Kevin Hart.
Okay, so you said you have to go in a couple minutes. So do we. I haven't heard, I'm not kidding. I haven't heard one syllable of KU K-State analysis from you. What did you see from Sylvia DeSosa yesterday?
I thought he was phenomenal. I thought by far the best game of his career, and his poise, athleticism, all very much impressive. It was the closest I've ever sat for a game this year because of where the media seating is for KU. Mm-hmm. And good God, he looked like he fit in, which great sign for KU if that's going to be what he looks like.
How far can Kansas get without Kazabuki?
Probably the Sweet 16, but if Udoka Azubuike's at 80% and it's this Silvio DeSosa, they can go as far as they could have gone anyway.
The Packers have traded for Deshaun Kizer. That's kind of interesting. Today's busy.
Is that a joke? Why
no,
would someone want Deshaun Kizer?
Oh, I kind of like Deshaun Kizer a little bit. I think outside of last year's Browns team and behind an actual quarterback, he has a chance to be like a decent backup. And that's all the
problem. Okay, here's what happened.
Here's why, Scott. No, shut up and listen to me, Scott. It's because last year their quarterback was Brett Hundley.
Are you done?
Yes.
Deshaun Kizer was like a Browns quarterback. He was really bad, whatever. But here's what happens is you made the Patrick Mahomes call, and it worked out so nicely. So now I feel like you're just deep-checking right now, and you're going to, like I said, you're going to pick, like, a fourth grader and tell me that's going to be the next great, like, Hall of Fame quarterback, and I think you might actually believe it.
No, whenever there was a bad rumor by a bad source going around a little bit during the beginning of the combine that the Chiefs were interested in Deshaun Kizer, and I said I didn't talk about it very much because I thought the source was garbage, and it obviously was. But I wouldn't hate him being brought in to back up Pat Mahomes. Like, I was okay with that. I think Deshaun Kizer is a nice place.
Why can't they just get Nick Foles? What's he doing?
He's about to make a lot of money in a year, which makes me so sad.
What about Kirk Cousins? Fifth round pick, backing up RG3. I'm sure he's available.
See, this is the philosophy that I actually like. I like the idea of drafting another backup to develop in case your first one doesn't work out. But the Chiefs are going to sign Chase Daniel. It's going to happen. It's been determined. It's happening. All right, it's 5:45. You said you got to go. I got nothing else, man. I hear every third word. I've heard you better than I heard Grant. I don't know why. Maybe Grant needs to step up his phone game. But thank you for coming on and talking about Sylvia DeSouza for 30 seconds and movies for like 15 minutes. It's always a pleasure. Please go follow Scott on Twitter at Chase and Scott. If you listen to this show regularly enough to know who Scott is and you're not following him on Twitter, like I clearly have no power over you. So please, for the love of God, for your own sake and mine, and most importantly for Scott's sake, go follow Scott on Twitter at Chase and Scott. Scott, thank you. Enjoy your trade to Los Angeles. I hope you have a good time.
Thanks, and I'll see you there. You're about to be traded, too.
I am so ready for it. I am so ready. Scott Chasen, I gave you all of his information already. Go do it. I'm excited to be traded to Los Angeles. I want to produce the Aqib Talib Marcus Peters radio show. I want to bring it back from breaks and then just kind of rock it out in the production room while I listen to those two guys talk. I want to hit the dump button for that show and bring him back from commercial break and give out my Twitter handle.
Why should you get traded to the Chargers, though, and not the Rams?
Oh, that would hurt. Yeah, I don't like that. I want to be traded to the Rams. I want to be a host to be named later in the Marcus Peters trade. It doesn't surface until March 14th. At Cardi V just tweeted and said that I and a sixth round pick have been traded to the Browns for a seventh round pick, and that one hurts. But I'm glad that the Browns want me. That's exciting. That's nice to know that I'm valued of a plus one round. No, wait a second. No, wait. They gave up a pick to get rid of me. Never mind. I'm like a bad contract. But I'll tell you what, I am not a bad contract.
Definitely not.
I was just going to let you, I was going to see what you swept in with. All right, we're going to take a break. We're live here at No Other Pub at the Power and Light District. We're here for 10 more minutes. And then our No Other Pub experiment is done for the time being. But KU and K-State tip off here in a little bit, as you can tell, with our very serious KU preview. Scott just decided he knew what he wanted to talk about and that he was going to absolutely rampage over any actual KU K-State discussion. Thank you, Scott, for all of your gifts that you've shared with the world. Seriously, I do appreciate it. All right, whenever we come back, we'll talk about a little bit of the things going on, a few of the things going on in the NFL offseason, and we'll give you a little bit more on KU and K-State, which tips off at 6. You can listen to that over on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I do appreciate you hanging out here for the time being. I hope this is the place to be, and then eventually you can pivot over, but you don't need to yet. We got you for 10 more minutes. Stay here. Grab a drink. Pull up a chair. Except for if you're in no other pub. I feel like that would make me self-conscious. We'll be back in a minute.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Time flies when you're talking about your dad's story of empire that you ruined and then the long drives back from St. Louis you never fully forgive your friends for.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
I was about to exhale deeply and then mention that I am excited that this is leading into the weekend. And then I remember that I'm hosting both days on 810 this weekend. Sports Saturday and Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 will be with me, Joshua Krisco, from 9 to noon both days, I believe. It'll be me and Rudy Salazar in running everything. So some of the topics, you know, spoiler alert, will be retreaded. That's the bad news. The good news is it'll be Rudy instead of Beard, so there'll be a different voice occasionally responding to me whenever I need to hit the cough button or something. So it's a little bit of variation.
Are you on remote tomorrow?
I don't know.
Oh, boy. Let's check.
No. It's not let's check. It's that no one has told me for sure.
Well, I was going to check the broadcast schedule. Or the...
Yeah, no, that's not going to get it done, man. The email that we got on, like, Wednesday said
one.
Maybe.
Yep, that's what this says. To be determined. So, who knows?
And so, no. No. The answer is no unless someone tells me otherwise.
Which they will do at, what, midnight tonight or 8 a.m. tomorrow
really
when you're not there yet?
Since 8:10 is your home for the Jayhawks, I have a feeling that if KU wins tonight, which they're going to do, that they might want me back out here tomorrow for the show. But I don't know. I don't know if that is actually in the cards. At this point, I kind of miss the studio.
Yeah.
But here, I would be doing it from the studio here. Our little, like...
Oh, that's nice.
Broom closet studio.
So at least there's not butts trying to crowd you out.
Right. There might be music pumping. I can deal with that.
Yeah, it's okay.
But there would be less butt compactors, for sure. And that's something to look forward to.
You've got 2 minutes left.
Oh, thank you very much. So the Browns traded this year's 4th and next year's 7th for Jarvis Landry. Not a very high price at all to pay, but again, just to keep in mind, like, as far as the draft pick value and why I still, none of these trades make me feel any better about what the Chiefs got for Marcus Peters. Jarvis Landry he had just signed his franchise tag, so he could be traded. And now the Browns are going to give him a big contract extension after now also trading away DeShone Kizer and trading for literally everyone else in the NFL. They trade for Jarvis Landry. They trade DeShone Kizer away. Well, they traded 3 picks, apparently, now for Jarvis Landry.
Oh, boy.
And no. This tweet from Mary Kay Cabot says the Browns trade... Oh, these picks, not 3 picks. Talking and reading at the same time. One of those must-have traits that I'm still not confident I have. So there's that.
Probably the reading thing.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely a capable speaker. Reading, you know, not my strongest suit. And then also, of course, thank you. The Browns also traded for Tyrod Taylor. They're going to draft a quarterback at 1 or 4. They might take Barkley at 1. That would be interesting and give themselves a real number 1 running back.
So
they could go, what?
So they traded for a quarterback. They're also going to draft one?
Yes, Tyrod Taylor is going to be the Alex Smith. They're going to try to do what the Chiefs just did. Tyrod Taylor, Alex Smith's for a year, and you let Josh Rosen... Or Baker Mayfield or one of the other guys, whatever. Whoever you get it for, the guy you get at 4th overall sits behind Tyrod Taylor for a year, and then you let this incredible coaching staff that's gotten you 1 win in the last 2 seasons, you let them coach up your young quarterback, your extremely
10 seconds.
Volatile resource. All right, well, we're on 8:10. 8 or 9 to noon these next 2 days, this weekend. Listen to it. Bye, Mom!
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.